B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Mem Zayin. We're going to start on the very last line on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. Just after halfway down Mem Vav Amud Beis, we saw in the Gemara that Min HaTorah Tzorchei Shabbos Nasin B'Yom Tov. That Min HaTorah, you're allowed to, even though if you prepare on Yom Tov, you cook on Yom Tov for after Yom Tov, which is a regular weekday, that's very serious. It's an Issa D'Oraisa. And Rashi brought a pasuk, v'leisasi kol melacha, but you're not, it's a serious issa. However, the Gemara said that to cook from Yom Tov in preparation for the next day, which is Shabbos, min ha-Torah is mutter. The Rabbanon didn't allow it because they were afraid we would cook from Yom Tov to a weekday. And therefore, they said you can only do it if you also make Eruv Tavshilin. And why is cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos mutter? So Rashi says on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis that Shabbos v'Yom Tov chod kedusha hi, they're both holy days and they have a similar kedusha. Rashi even adds that both of them are called Shabbos, and therefore cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos is allowed. Now the Gemara is going to ask two questions on this. Eisvei, we're going to ask from the following Mishnah. It's the Mishnah Menachos Daf Kuf. Lechem haponim. We know that every Shabbos, in the Beis Hamikdash, there was the Shulchan. On the Shulchan were 12 breads, the Lechem Aponim. Every Shabbos, the Kohanim would switch the breads. They would, on Erev Shabbos, they would bake 12 breads. On Shabbos, they would put those new breads onto the Shulchan, and they would remove the old breads that were put there a week earlier, and the lechem and the bread, which miraculously stayed fresh a whole week, was then distributed amongst the Kohanim. So the Mishnah says, lechem aponim nechal letisha, it's sometimes eaten on the ninth day after it was baked, le'asara on the tenth day sometimes, ulachadaser, and sometimes on the 11th day after it was baked. Loipochis v'loyosa, never less than 9 days and never more than 11. Ketzad. How does this work? The Mishnah says, Kedarkoi, a regular week, what would happen? Letisha, it was eaten on the ninth day, it was baked on Erev Shabbos on a Friday, and then it was put onto the Shulchan on Shabbos, the Shabbos being day number 2, and was eaten the following Shabbos, which is day number 9, from when it was baked. So that's a regular Shabbos. Kedarkoi. Nefo be'erev Shabbos, was baked on Erev Shabbos, nechel b'Shabbos letisha, and was eaten 9 days later on Shabbos. Chol Yom Tov liyos be'erev Shabbos. What happens if Erev Shabbos happens to be Yom Tov? Then you're allowed to bake lechem upon him on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to bake lechem upon him on Yom Tov, and we'll soon discuss that, but you cannot bake lechem upon him on Yom Tov, so you have to bake it on Erev Yom Tov, which is on a Thursday. If you bake it on Thursday and eat it the following Shabbos, then it's day 10. Chol Yom Tov liyos be'erev Shabbos, nechal l'Shabbos l'asara. Then it's eaten on the following Shabbos, which is day 10 from when it was baked. Shnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. In the time that there was lechem upon him, they never kept 2 days Yom Tov. The only time that one ever kept 2 days Yom Tov was on Rosh Hashanah, as discussed in other places in Shas. And so what happens if Rosh Hashanah was on Thursday, Friday, and then Shabbos straight after that? So when would you bake the Lechem Aponim? You can't bake it on Friday because Rosh Hashanah. You can't bake it on Thursday. It's Rosh Hashanah, so you have to bake it on Wednesday. So if you bake it on Wednesday and eat it the following Shabbos, then you're eating it on day 11. Chol Shnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. Sorry, chol yom tov liyos be'erev Shabbos nechal l'Shabbos la'asara. Shnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. If it's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah before Shabbos, nechal l'Shabbos, it's eaten the following Shabbos la'chadaser on the 11th day. Lefi she'einoi doicha, and this is the rule that baking the lechem aponim does not override loyos haShabbos, not on Shabbos. You cannot bake the lechem aponim on Shabbos for the following Shabbos, v'loyos hayom tov, nor can you bake it on Erev Shabbos, or even on Thursday, if it's a Yom Tov, and since baking the Lechem upon him does not override Shabbos or Yom Tov, it could be up to day 11 till one can eat the Lechem upon him. Now the Gemara is asking, if you say that you're allowed to prepare, you're allowed to cook or bake on Yom Tov in preparation for Shabbos, amai lo idochi Yom Tov? Then why over here can you not be doichi Yom Tov itself? So we understand that you cannot bake the breads on Shabbos for the following Shabbos. That's clear. But if we always bake the lechem aponim on Erev Shabbos, just because it's Yom Tov, so what? According to the opinion that we're talking about now, that you're allowed to cook or bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos, when is this lechem aponim going to be eaten? The following Shabbos. So it's going to be used for Shabbos. So why can I not bake it on the day before, on Erev, the Shabbos previous, the earlier Shabbos, in order to be eaten the following Shabbos? You're allowed to bake on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. And even though normally we don't want you to do it, but ein shvus b'migdosh. Omale, shvus kroivo hitiru. Even though you're allowed to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, and it's only a shvus, and it's only an Issa d'Rabbanon, and in the Beis HaMikdash it would be allowed, but that's only a shvus kroiva, only a type of Issa d'Rabbanon, which the use, that means when we need it, we need the malacha that's being done, is either for that day. For example, if you have an Issa d'Rabbanon, and you need a malacha, this malacha to be done now and here in the Beis HaMikdash, we say ein shvus b'mikdash. You don't need it now, you need it the next day, ein shvus b'mikdash. But over here, it's a shvus rechoika. And you want me to override the Issa d'Rabbanon of baking on Yom Tov for Shabbos, and when are you going to actually use and benefit from this baking? The following Shabbos, 10 days later. That's lo hitiru. There we says the Chachomim did not allow them to do that. Asks the Gemara, what about the next line in the Mishnah in Menachos? Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, d'omar mishum Rab Shimon ben Hasgan, doiches ayom tov. Then Rab Shimon ben Gamliel said in the name of Rab Shimon ben Hasgan that one was allowed to bake the lechem aponim on Erev Shabbos, even if it's Yom Tov. So what are you going to say? According to him, it's a shvus rechoika. How can you bake the breads on Erev Shabbos, which is Yom Tov, if you're only going to eat it 10 days later? And in the event that the Erev Shabbos is Yom Kippur, then obviously everybody agrees you can't bake it then. But if Erev Shabbos was a Yom Tov, you are allowed to bake it. Ma'ikel emeima, what are you going to say? Answers the Gemara, that's exactly what they'll be arguing about. B'ho pligi mar sovar shvus kroivo yitiru. The Reb Shimon ben Gamliel will say that the Marasova Shvus Kroiva Yitiru Shvus Rechoika Lo Yitiru, the Tanakama will say that you're not allowed to bake the lechem upon him on Yom Tov, and because it's a Shvus Rechoika, you'll benefit from this Issa d'Rabbanon you're doing now only 10 days later, and therefore they did not allow it. Or Marasova, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, in the name of Reb Shimon ben Azgan, holds Shvus Rechoika Nami Yitiru, they also allowed to override this Issa d'Rabbanon in the Beis HaMikdash, even though you were only going to eat it 10 days later, nonetheless it was still allowed. A big question that the Rishonim here, Rashi and Tosfos, and in other places discuss is that, and it's not really to do with our sugya so much, but in that Mishnah in Menachos that we just learned, if Rosh Hashanah was on a Thursday, then if Thursday is Rosh Hashanah, is Aleph Tishri, the following Shabbos is actually Yom Kippur. If the following Shabbos is going to be Yom Kippur, then you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, the lechem aponim. So when did the Kohanim eat the lechem aponim? Only on Motzah Shabbos. That's day 12 already. Not like the Mishnah said that it's never beyond day 11. So that's a very big question. Rashi offers two solutions. Either Rashi says we're talking about that the Edim who came to say that they saw the new moon and hence it's Rosh Chodesh and hence it's Rosh Hashanah, they came in the afternoon of Thursday, which means that the Beis Din actually said that Friday was the real Rosh Hashanah, and they just practiced Thursday as Rosh Hashanah for different reasons, and therefore they couldn't bake on either day because they did keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah as discussed in other sugyas. Why, even in the Beis HaMikdash, even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there were 2 days Rosh Hashanah, and they would have to bake it on the Wednesday. But since the Edim came on Thursday in the afternoon, day one, the real Rosh Hashanah was on Friday, and hence Yom Kippur was on Sunday, they could eat the Lechem Aponim on on the following Shabbos. A second solution, Rashi says, is that even if they would eat the lechem upon him on the Motzah Shabbos, but we know from a Gemara in Chulin that in regarding Beis HaMikdash, regarding Kochim, the night actually follows after the day. Not like we always know that the night is before the day. Here the night is after the day. So Motzah Shabbos is still considered day 11 since Shabbos is day 11. And that's how the two explanations Rashi gives here. Tosfos has other explanations, but that's the Rashi. Continues the Gemara. Mosiv Rav Mori. We're now asking another question against Rav Chisda, who Rav Chisda held that min ha-Torah you're allowed to bake or cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Says the Gemara. Shtei ha-lechem. We know that on Shavuos, every year on Shavuos in the Beis HaMikdash, they would bring two breads called shtei halechem, they were chometz, and they would not be put on the mizbeach, but there would be a korban that would accompany it, that the korban would be put on the mizbeach, and only after the korban was actually offered on the mizbeach were they allowed to eat from these shtei halechem. So, einoy necholos, loy pochos mishnayim, it was never eaten on the day they were baked. The earliest time they could be eaten is on day two. V'lo yoysel shlosha, they were never eaten after the third day. Ketzad, nefois erev Yom Tov, necholos liyom tov. They wouldn't bake it on Shavuos, they would bake it on the day before Shavuos, on Erev Shavuos. So if they bake it on Erev Shavuos and eat it on Shavuos, so they're eating it on day two. Lishnaim, chol Yom Tov liyos achar Shabbos. If Shavuos was on a Sunday, then they wouldn't bake it on Shabbos before. Then they would bake it on Friday. Necholos liyom tov l'shloisha, they would bake it on Friday, eat it on Sunday, which is the day, the third day. Lefi she'eino yidoicha loyes ha-Shabbos v'loyes ha-Yom Tov, because baking the shtei alechem did not override not Shabbos and not Yom Tov. So, and asks the Gemara, I omrus tzorche Shabbos nasim b'Yom Tov. If we know that if min ha-Torah you're allowed to prepare for Shabbos on Yom Tov, hashtad the Shabbos b'Yom Tov shori. Yom Tov b'Yom Tov miboya, and Rashi explains the question as follows: we know that we're not allowed to cook or bake on Yom Tov. The only heta, the only time you're allowed to do it, is if you actually need it on Yom Tov. If it's oichel nefesh, we all know you can cook and bake on Yom Tov for Yom Tov. However, that the basic understanding of that would be you have to be able to eat it or want to eat it here and now, this minute. I'm baking now, I'm cooking now, then whilst I'm cooking and baking, I have to be able to eat it and want to eat it. Then we say you can do it on Yom Tov. But if for whatever reason you cannot eat it now, you can only eat it in 2 hours' time, that would not allow you to cook or bake on Yom Tov. That would be one way of understanding it. And then in which case, you would not be allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos for the simple reason that it's not here and now. If I'm not doing it to be used here and now, that would be osur. And in the case of the shtei alechem, when you're baking it, you cannot eat it immediately whilst or after baking it, because you first have to bring the korban. So it's a delayed benefit. So he's saying that if you say that, according to the opinion that says you are allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, so you see it doesn't have to be that you can actually eat it whilst you're doing the melacha. It's good enough if you can eat it a little bit later. If from Yom Tov to Shabbos you're allowed to cook, then on Yom Tov to the same Yom Tov itself, on Shavuos, why don't I bake the breads on Shavuos, even though I cannot eat it immediately after baking because I still have to bring the korban? Okay, so you'll eat it 2 hours later. It's no different to eating it 24 hours later when you're preparing for Shabbos. And that's what the Gemara means to ask. V'i omrus tzorchei Shabbos nasin b'Yom Tov, if you're allowed to bake or cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, even though it's the next day, hashtad the Shabbos b'Yom Tov shori, if you're allowed to even cook for the next day, d'Yom Tov b'Yom Tov miboya, then to cook on Yom Tov for a little bit later on Yom Tov, of course it should be muta. So why didn't they bake the lechem upon him on Shavuos? If you say that you're not allowed to bake or cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, then we say that you're only allowed to bake on Yom Tov if you can have it right now. And I can understand why you cannot bake the lechem upon him on Shavuos, because you cannot eat them straight away. But if you can bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, of course you should be able to bake on Shavuos. Continues the Gemara, we're now asking another question against Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda, who said that you're allowed to, min ha-Torah, cook and bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Then there's another question which Rav Mori is asking. Mosiv Rav Mori. And before we ask this question, I just want to make one short introduction. Everybody agrees, there's no machlokes, that you're allowed to, min ha-Torah, you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos. The question is why? Is it because min ha-Torah you're allowed to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Because Shabbos is also considered a Yom Tov, or Yom Tov is considered a Shabbos, as Rashi said on Memvav Amud Beis, that Shabbos v'Yom Tov chod kedusha hi, it's a single kedusha. The Tarvayu, Shabbos Ikri, they're both called Shabbos, and therefore it's not considered that you're cooking or baking from Yom Tov for another day. It's not similar to preparing or cooking, baking from Yom Tov to a weekday. That's one way of understanding it. And then it's mutter. You don't need to come on to any logic of hoyel that since I could have used it on Yom Tov, you don't need to be able to use it on Yom Tov. Since Yom Tov and Shabbos is one kedusha, you're allowed to bake or cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. The other option is, the other understanding is, that you're not allowed to bake. Be'etzem, you're not allowed to bake or cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. But we know that you are allowed to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So the way we understand that is using a logic called Hoyil, which we'll see later on in the Gemara. We already saw on Daf Memvav. Not everybody agrees with that. But there's a concept called Hoyil, which means that since when I'm now baking, it's now Friday, it's Yom Tov, I'm baking for Shabbos. Since if guests would come on Yom Tov, I would give the bread that I'm baking now, I would give it to the guests, it's considered as if I'm baking for Yom Tov. Since had guests come, then these breads would be given to the guests on Yom Tov, it's not considered that I'm baking exclusively for Shabbos, and therefore, even though I'm intending to use them on Shabbos, it's called that you're baking it for Yom Tov, and it's mutter. And that's now going to be a discussion. Because there are some cases where you bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos where you cannot say Hoyil, where using the logic of Hoyil would not actually work. What would be an example of that? We know, and we're about to mention that in the Gemara. Every Shavuos, they would bring a Shtei Alechem, two breads, chometz breads that were, they were accompanied a korban. There were two sheep that were brought, the kivseh atzeres. They would bake the lechem, the shtei alechem, and then the korbanos would be offered. And then one would be able to, after the korbanos are offered, one would be able to eat the lechem with the shtei alechem. And the question is, are you allowed to bake these shtei alechem on Yom Tov? Well, what's the issue? The issue is that as soon as you're finished baking these breads, you cannot eat them at all. You're not allowed to. You first have to wait to bring the korbanos. So that means the two understandings we had, either you say that you're allowed to cook or bake from anything which is the same kedusha, from Yom Tov to Shabbos, or from Yom Tov to later on Yom Tov, that would be one way of understanding it. And you're allowed to, min ha-Torah, you can bake from Yom Tov to Yom Tov, from Yom Tov to Shabbos, and we're not interested in needing to use it right now. According to the second understanding, that you're only ever allowed to cook or bake on Yom Tov if it could be used here and now, and the only reason that you can cook or bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos is because on Yom Tov itself, maybe here and now some guests will arrive and I'll give them this food and then it will transpire that I actually cooked and baked for Yom Tov. Then what happens if I've got these lechem upon him chalois that I'm baking on Yom Tov, but I cannot actually eat them now on Yom Tov? I can only eat them an hour later or 2 hours later when the kivseh atzeres are brought, when the korbanos are brought. And if you need to resort to hoyil means that I can use it here and now. And if I can't use it here and now, then the same way as I wouldn't have a hoyil that would allow us to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, from Yom Tov to Yom Tov I also need hoyil, because I need to be able to eat the food I'm cooking here and now. And I cannot. So that means what the Gemara is now going to do is compare being able to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos to the case of baking on Yom Tov for Yom Tov for the same Yom Tov, but in a case where you cannot eat what you're baking, you cannot eat it now, and under any circumstances, that means you do not have hoil. It means the Gemara is sort of going to tell us that every single time that you bake on Yom Tov, it could be that we need to resort to a type of a hoil that since I could eat it here and now when I'm baking it or when I'm cooking it. Let's see this inside. Mosiv Rav Mori. Shtei Alechem. The Mishnah there in Menachos says that regarding the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, Einon necholos, they are never eaten, loy pochos mishnayim, they're never eaten on the day they're baked. The earliest time they're eaten is the day after they're baked, on the second day. V'lo yoisal shleisha, they're never eaten later than the third day from the baking. Ketzad, nefois erev yom tov. On a regular Shavuos, they would bake the lechem, the Shtei Alechem, on erev Shavuos, necholos liyom tov, they would eat it the next day on Shavuos, lishnayim on the second day. Chol yom tov liyos achar haShabbos. If Shavuos is on a Sunday and you cannot bake the Shtei Alechem on Shabbos, which is erev Shavuos, they would bake it on the Friday, and they would eat it then on the Sunday. It would be on the third day. Necholos liyom tov lishloisha. Why? The baking of the Shtei Alechem does not override Lo Yesa Shabbos V'Lo Yesa Yom Tov. So we understand that the Shtei Alechem, which is needed for Shavuos, cannot be baked on Shabbos. The question is, why can I not bake it on Yom Tov, on Shavuos itself, on Shavuos morning? Why can I not bake it? So the Gemara is saying, E Omrit Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim B'Yom Tov. According to you, Rav Chisda, that you hold that Min HaTorah you're allowed to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, because it's the same Kedusha. And therefore, of course I can bake from Yom Tov to Yom Tov, even though I cannot eat it right now. I can eat it in an hour's time, in 2 hours' time. So according to Rav Chisda, there's no reason in the world that you should not be able to cook, to bake these Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. Why not? It must be, says Rav Mori. From here we see that you're not allowed to cook on or bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos based on the fact that it's one Kedusha. The only reason you're allowed to cook or bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos is because of Hoyl. Because right here and now, I could use it if guests would come, I would feed it to them. And then we would understand, from Yom Tov to Shabbos, you're allowed to cook or bake because guests may come on Yom Tov and you could serve it to them right now. But on the Shtei Alechem, where you're not allowed to eat it right now because you have to wait for the korban to be brought, and nobody can eat it just after it's been baked, and as soon as it's ready to be eaten, nobody can eat it, then I can understand that it's asr. And therefore I understand that we don't bake the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. You have to bake it on Erev Shavuos. Because it must be that you're only allowed to bake on Yom Tov if you can eat it here and now. But according to Rav Chisda, that say that there's a rule, since Yom Tov and Shabbos is the same Kedusha, you can bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, then I should be able to bake from Shavuos for the day itself, for 2 hours later. Hashta de Shabbos beyond Tov Shori, according to Rav Chisda, that you say that you're allowed to even bake from Yom Tov preparing for Shabbos, the Yom Tov beyond Tov Meboya, then of course you can even bake on Yom Tov for Yom Tov itself, even though you cannot eat it for the first couple of hours. Answers the Gemara, no. It could be like Rav Chisda says that Min HaTorah you should be able to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos. It's one Kedusha. However, Shani Hosom de Omakra, Lochem, Lochem Beloila Gvoya. The Pasuk in the Torah that allows you to bake on Yom Tov is a Pasuk that says you're only allowed to bake Lochem if it's for your private use, if it's yours. But if it belongs to Hekdush, then you're not allowed to. Since these Shtei Alechem belong to Hekdush, there's no heter to bake them on Yom Tov, since you could bake them on Erev Yom Tov. If you couldn't bake them on Erev Yom Tov, it would be a different issue. But since you could bake them on Erev Yom Tov, there's no heter to bake them on Yom Tov. Asks the Gemara, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Do'omam Reshum Reb Shimon ben Azgan, Doiche Es HaYom Tov. According to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who says that you can bake the Shtei Alechem even on Shavuos, how are you going to understand that? It says, Lochem. Answers the Ma'ikel Meima, what are you going to say? Answers the Gemara, Sovalok Abashol, that this Reb Shimon ben Azgan will hold like Abashol, that Lochem is not excluding Hekdesh, Gavoya, it's excluding Lochem Beloy Lenochrim. You're not allowed to cook or bake or do a melocha for a goy on Yom Tov. And this is a very important halacha. If you have guests which are not yet Jewish or not Jewish, it's a big issue to cook for them on Yom Tov. But But for Hekdesh, according to Abba Shaul, you are allowed to. And so Rav Shimon ben Azgan will hold that Lochem is not excluding Hekdesh, and therefore you can bake on Shavuos, the Shtei Alechem, even though you cannot eat them the moment after you bake them. But since it's the same, it's one Kedusha, obviously it's the same day, you're allowed to bake them. Continues the Gemara. Now we're going back to the topic of Hoyil that we discussed on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. We saw in the Gemara there was a machlekas between Rav Chisda and Rabba whether you say Hoyil. Rav Chisda says we do not use this logic called Hoyil. Rabba says we use the logic called Hoyil. Sholach le Rav Chisda le Rabba. Rav Chisda now asked Rabba the following question. You, Rabba, that use the concept of Hoyil, since something could have been, we can look at it as if it's been or as if it is, even though it hasn't yet transpired that way. I've got a question. And Rav Chisda impressed this question against Rabba to Rav Acha bar Rav Huna, who was going to pose the question to Rabba. Sholach le Rav Chisda le Rabba biyad Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. Mi amrin an Hoyil. Is there such a logic that you, Rabba, say, Hoyil, that since, that we can use this logic? Votnan, this seems to contradict the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah as follows, that, and the Mishnah is going to tell us that it's possible to do a single deed and to have transgressed 8 lavim and get 8 times malchus for doing just one thing. What is that? Votnan, yesh choyrish telem echod. It's possible for a person to plow a single furrow, a single row, v'chayovin oleo mishum shmoino lavin. He's going to be chayev for 8 lavim, for 8 mitzvahs loisaser in the Torah. How is it possible? So, the Mishnah explains, ha-chayrush b'shoir v'chamir. So before we start, we know there's a pasuk in the Torah that says you're not allowed to plow using kilayim, using 2 different types of animals. A shoir and a chamir are not allowed to be put in the same yoke to plow with. So first and foremost, this person did the plowing with a shoir v'chamor together. He's already transgressed an issa of loisachroish shoir v'chamor yachtov. V'hein mukdoshim. The shoir and the chamor were both hektish. The shoir was hektish for the mizbeach, and somebody who uses a shoir of hektish l'mizbeach is a lav of loisavoid b'v'chor shoircho. You're not allowed to work with a b'chor, who's the korban. And not only Bechoyer, the Gemara learns out in other places that it's not only Bechoyer, it's any Hektish, any animal slated for the Mizbeach is not allowed to be worked with. The Chamoyer that obviously is not cannot be used as a korban, but its value has been dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, which means it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash to be sold, and the money will be used for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. And there also, there's the regular halachas of Me'ila. Hizid b'Me'ila is a lav. Vein Mukdashim. If the Shoyer and the Chamoyer are Hekdesh, then you've got another 2 lavim. You've got the lav of using the Loisavid b'v'chor shercho, and you have the Me'ila. V'kilayim b'kerem. What are you plowing? You're plowing kilayim in a vineyard, which means if you're plowing some seeds, or whilst you're plowing, you're churning up and sowing some seeds, or enhancing the growing of the seeds in a vineyard, that's another issa of kilayim. Ushvies, it happens to be it was Shmita the 7th year, and we know that on Shmita there's a pasuk, Sot Choloi Sizra, you're not allowed to plant in Shmita, and Charisha, plowing, is a toildo, is a sub melocha of Zriya. B'Yom Tov, and it happened to be Yom Tov as well. And on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do Charisha on Yom Tov, if it's Shaloi L'Tzerich. Over here, you're definitely not allowed to do this Charisha. And we know that you're not allowed to do melochas on Yom Tov. And this person who was doing it was also a Kohen, v'nozir, and he was also a Nozir. And where was he doing this plowing? A Beis HaTumah, in a graveyard. And there's a law for a Kohen to go into a graveyard, le'nefesh lo yitamo. There's a law for a Nozir to go into a graveyard, al nefesh meis lo yavoy. So you've got here where one act, and he's done 8 lavim. So now the Gemara is asking, v'i omrinon. This was a question that Rav Chisda was posing against Rabba. V'omrinon hoyil, if you say that the logic of hoyil, since something could have been in a specific way, it's as if it was done that way and it has the relevant ramifications and consequences. If you say hoyil, then one of these 8 lavim was plowing on Yom Tov. Acharisha lo lechayev. You can say, if I can use the logic of since, then that would exempt me from the lav of plowing in Yom Tov. Why? Hoyil v'chazi l'kisui dam tzipir. We know that when you shecht a bird, then you have to cover over its blood with some earth, with some soil. Kisui Adam. And that's a mitzvah saseh. The mitzvah saseh of kisui Adam will override the iser loy saseh, the lav, of plowing on Yom Tov. And therefore, how can you say that I get malchus and I've transgressed a lav of plowing on Yom Tov, since had I used this earth for kisui Adam, had there been some blood of birds that needed to be covered right here and now, and there was no time, it was not possible to find other earth, and I need to have this earth here to plow up, to churn up this earth in order to do the Kisui Adam, then it would be mutar on Yom Tov. And since it could have been mutar, then use the logic of Hoyle to exempt me from the malchus of plowing on Yom Tov. Omer of Papa Bar Shmuel of Papa Bar Shmuel says, Ba'avonim mukurzolis. We're actually talking about stones. Stones are not earth. And you cannot do kisui adam with stones. You plowed, what you churned here, what you plowed was stones. Mukurzolis, Rashi says, is talking about pointed stones. Tosafot says it means something else, but it doesn't really matter what the word mukurzolis means. The answer of the Gemara is we're talking about stone. And you cannot use a stone to do kisui adam. Ask the Gemara if you want to use hoyel. Okay. So it could have used it for kisei adam, even if I did harisha on stones, but it's ru'uyeis lekoishon. I could grind this stone, and once I have ground stone, it has the status of earth. I can do kisei adam with it. Says the Gemara, ksisha b'yontov mishori? What, you're allowed to do ksisha, even though you need this for the kisei adam, are you allowed to grind a stone on Yom Tov? And the Rishonim ask, why should grinding a stone be worse than plowing? In the same way as you say, "Asei doy chalois aset," to allow you to plow, the same should apply to grinding on Yom Tov. So that's a question that the Rishonim discuss here. But the Gemara is asking, you're allowed to grind the stone on Yom Tov. You cannot grind the stone on Yom Tov. And this Mishnah we just mentioned is talking about somebody who plowed stone, and you're not allowed to grind it. We're talking about it was on Yom Tov, and therefore there's eight lavim. Says the Gemara, no. Ru'uyeis lekoishon kelachayad. Min ha-Torah, I'm allowed to grind these stones with in an unusual manner. Min ha-Torah, you're allowed to do that. And since min ha-Torah, I can grind them in an unusual manner, and then hoil, if I would have the blood that needs to be covered, I would be doing this mitzvah of kisui adam. So again, how can you give me malchus on for plowing on Yom Tov? Hoil. Since had it been a mitzvah saseh to do this, to have this stone that I could grind in an unusual manner min ha-Torah, how can you give me malchus? Says the Gemara, we're talking about betumna. We're talking about a very rocky land, and the rocks which are being plowed here, it's not able to grind them. It's not possible to grind them to be able to use for kisui adam. Asks the Gemara, tzunma barzaria? If you're talking about these such a rocky land to the point that you cannot grind these stones to make them into the soil, to make them into earth, to cover the blood with, then you cannot sow in them either. It's not called a zaria. And if you cannot plant in them, well, two of the eight lavim we mentioned were planting. There was planting in Shemitah, and there was kilayim that you're planting in a vineyard. You're planting the grains there. So if you're talking about tsunma, you don't have eight lavim. Says the Gemara, no, we're talking about tsunma milamailo, that when I plow, I'm plowing the upper layer, which is rock. And since that is what I'm actually doing the plowing on, and therefore, since I cannot grind them, then I don't have a hoil, because I could not use, there was no asei doi chalois aset, there's nothing that would justify plowing this rock on Yom Tov. However, va'ofar tichuach milamato, there's soft earth underneath it, and once I've plowed the top, then what's left, what's been uncovered with the plowing, I'm able to plant in. And that is what he's doing, the zriya on Shemitah and the kilayim. Ask the Gemara, v'tepik lei mishum ofar tichuach. Okay, so then we're back to the original hoil. If your plowing has uncovered soft earth, then that soft earth could be used for kisui adam. In as much as you can use it for planting in, you can use it to cover the blood with. So how can you say at the same time that you're chayav for plowing on Yom Tov and you don't say hoyel that you could have used it for kisei adam, at the same time as you say that two of the lavim that you're chayav is for planting in? Elo Omar Mar Bar Vashi Betino. Mar Bar Vashi says we're talking here about mud, that what he was plowing, was churning up, was mud. And since it was mud, you cannot use it for kisui adam. Says the Gemara, if the mud cannot be used for kisui adam, then can you plant in it? Vatino bar zariyahu, says the Gemara, b'matuna. We're talking about a wet type of a mud. And this type of mud, it's too wet and sticky to be able to be ground into dry soil, so to speak, to be used for kisui adam. So you cannot use it for kisui adam. However, it is able to be planted in. And therefore, at the same time, you also have a lav of charisha, of plowing on Yom Tov, because we're plowing in a scenario, in a case where it could not have been used for kisui adam, but it is a type of material that you can plow into. It's this type of matuna, this wet mud, that you can plant in. Continues the Gemara. Esve Abaya. Now it's Abaya's turn to ask a question against Rabba. You, Rabba, use the logic of Hoyel. I'm going to ask a question from elsewhere. Hamavashil Gid Hanoshe Becholov Beyomtev. Somebody took a gid anoshe, which is one of the sinews of an animal, at the back of an animal, in the back part of the animal, and that's called a gid hanoshe. And we've already learned you're not allowed to eat the gid hanoshe. And there was a discussion, we saw this previously on Daf Chav Beis, that a discussion whether this gid hanoshe has the status of meat or doesn't have the status of meat. In this Gemara, we're assuming it's got the status of meat. Yesh begidim benoisin tam. You cook this gid hanoshe with milk, and you did it on Yom Tov. So the halacha is, or the Mishnah says, or the Braisa, and then you ate it. You ate this gid hanoshe that's been cooked in milk on Yom Tov. You get five times malchus. Loike chomish. Loike mishum vashel gid b'yom tov. You cooked on Yom Tov. You cooked the gid hanoshe on Yom Tov. You're only allowed to cook on Yom Tov something you're allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat the gid hanoshe. Loike mishum oichel gid. You ate gid hanoshe. That's a lift in Issa, it's an Avera. Second one. V'loike mishum vashel basar b'cholov. You cooked basar b'cholov. We know that if you cook milk and meat, it's an Avera. V'loike mishum oichel basar b'cholov. You also get malchus for eating basar b'cholov. You're not allowed to consume meat that was cooked with milk. V'loike mishum havara. How did you cook it on Yom Tov? You lit some fire, some firewood. You made a fire. You're not allowed to make a fire on Yom Tov. And since that's this fifth lav, is that you made a fire on Yom Tov, you get malchus. You're only allowed to make a fire on Yom Tov to cook something that you can use, that you're allowed to use on Yom Tov. But here, cooking gid hanoshe with cholov, you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov, and therefore you're chayev for lighting the fire. And now Abai is asking his question. V'i omrin on hoyel, you Rabbi who say there's a concept called hoyel that would exempt a person from malchus, avhora loy lechayev. Why should he be chayev for lighting the fire? Hoyel dechozi le letzorkoi. Since I could have, theoretically speaking, when I lit the fire, it could have been used for my own use that was mutter. The fact that I used it for something that was asa, I could have used it. Since it could have been a deed that was done for my own use, then it would have been mutter, therefore I shouldn't get malchus. So Rabbah answers, Omale apik havora v'ayil gid hanoshe. Rabbah says, you're right. V'ayil gid hanoshe shel nevela. Rabbah says, I do say hoyel, and therefore you should not be chayev for lighting the fire on Yom Tov, but you'll be chayev for something else. This gid hanoshe happened to come from an animal that wasn't shechted. It was also a nevela, and that's an extra lav. You're not allowed to eat a nevela. So I've still got five lavim, and I don't have the issue of lighting a fire on Yom Tov. Ach Sabaya, Vatonya Rabchia said in a brisa that these five malchus, so Rabchia summed it up, that loikin shtayim malachilosoi, two of them is for eating, basa b'cholov you're not allowed to eat, and gidanoshi you're not allowed to eat, v'sholei shal bishulei, and three lavim is for the process of doing the bishul. One is cooking basa b'cholov, one is cooking on Yom Tov, to cook something that you can't eat on Yom Tov, and one we thought was havara, was in the process of cooking, you lit a fire. But if you take out nevela, V'isa, if you're right, you rabba, that instead of havara, you have the is of eating nevela, sholosh al achilas miboile, then you have three for eating, basa b'cholov, gidanosha and nevela, and only two for the cooking, that's basa b'cholov and cooking on yontav. And Rav Chiya says the other way around. Elo says rabba, apik havara, take out havara, don't replace it with nevela. Va'ayil atzei mukta. Replace it with that the wood that you used to cook on Yom Tov was actually mukta. It was designated for something that was not going to be used on Yom Tov. They were mukta woods. If they're mukta woods, then you have your fifth avera. Zabaya asked Rabba of a mukta day, right? Say he? Mukta is awesome in Atayra if you're taking woods that are mukta to the point that you chayiv malchus on them. Answers Rabba, omale in, yes. Where would you have a pasuk in the Torah that says that mukta is also min haTorah? D'chsiv, it says in the pasuk v'hoyo b'yom hashishi, that on the sixth day, on Friday, every Erev Shabbos, this is talking about in the Midbar where the mon would come down, then we know that you're not allowed to cook or bake on Shabbos because it says you have to cook before Shabbos and bake before Shabbos. That the pasuk says, ve'isa she'toifu eifu ve'isa she'tevashlu bashelu. That we know. But besides that, the pasuk says, "Vehichinu esa sheyoviu," should prepare whatever you want to use for Shabbos. You should designate it before Shabbos and say, "This is for Shabbos." It's now been designated for Shabbos, been set aside for Shabbos. It's no longer mukta. Vehichinu esa sheyoviu, that you have to prepare whatever you want to use on Shabbos. You prepare it before Shabbos, and then it's no longer mukta on Shabbos. And so from the very fact that the Torah says, whatever you want to use on Shabbos, prepare before Shabbos, so you see that you're not allowed to use something on Shabbos that hasn't been prepared for Shabbos. And using something, touching something, moving something that's not been prepared for Shabbos will then be called a melacha. And to do a melacha is also on Shabbos. As hora mehocha, where were we warned? Which loisase, which negative commandment tells us you're not allowed to do a melacha? Miloisase kol melacha. And even though over here we're talking about Yom Tov and this is a pasuk about Shabbos, Rashi and Daf Mem Vav already brought this pasuk for Shabbos. The Gemara later brings it. The Mefarshim discuss why this pasuk is constantly being quoted for the Issa Melacha of Yom Tov. But either way, the Gemara learns that there's a loisaseh of doing a melacha on Yom Tov from loisaseh kol melacha. So you see that mukta, which is the antithesis, the opposite of heichinu, the opposite of preparing something for Shabbos, is if it's been set aside not to be used for Shabbos, it's mukta, and it's asr. So Rabbah says, I've got here a pasuk that says mukta is asr min haTorah, and since we're using the woods of mukta, I have my five lavim. Omale, Abaye now questions Rabbah. V'atu de'omrus, you Rabbah told us, the boy in name of Chizda, that you Rabbah asked either of Chizda, the Omri lo boy in name Rav Huna, others say that Rabbah asked Rav Huna, that maybe say me'efer, or me'afar, what happens if you have a sheep that was in the pasture, it was far away from the place where people live, and nobody had dreamt in their wildest dreams that this sheep would actually come back on Yom Tov to where the people are living, and therefore it was out of mind, out of sight, and this sheep was considered mukta on Yom Tov. A sheep that you've got in your back garden is not necessarily mukta. You're allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov and eat it for your Sudas Yom Tov. But this sheep was in the pasture, and therefore it was mukta. And this sheep came, they brought it, v'shachtoi tomid, and they shechted it for the korban tomid in the Beis HaMikdosh. They made a korban out of this mukta sheep, b'Yom Tov, mau. And this was on Yom Tov. For the Tomid on Yom Tov, they wanted to know, are you allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach? Are you allowed to offer a korban from a mukta animal? Vat Omraslon, and you Rabbah told us that Omarli Allah, that whoever it was either of Chizda or of Huna, told you Rabbah as follows. So it's a braisa. And the braisa is actually based on a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk in Yecheskel says, "V'seh achas min atzoin min amosaim mimashke Yisrael lemincho le'oilo v'leshlomim lechaper aleihem ne'um Hashem elikim." And the braisa learns every word in this pasuk to teach us what type of animals are allowed to be used, or what is allowed to be used for a korban. So we learn as follows: "Seh." The fact that the Torah says that you have to use the fact the pasuk says that korbanos are brought from a seh, v'lo ya b'chor, A seh means any type of sheep, a zachar, a male, or a female. V'loya b'chayr, but you're not allowed to use a b'chayr for a korban tomid, because a b'chayr is only from a male sheep. Seh means any type of sheep, a male or a female. And therefore you cannot use a type of sheep, you cannot use a b'chayr. And the Rishonim ask here that a korban tomid can only ever be brought from a zachar, and the Tosfos here asks many other reasons why you should not be allowed to use a b'chayr for korban tomid, but we're learning the braisa at face value. Rashi doesn't point it out, so we're not going to go into that. Achas, what do you use from the word, what do we learn from the word achas? The Pasuk says, v'seh achas, one, a single seh, v'loi meiser. We know that every tenth animal is called meiser behema, but the tenth animal is only considered meiser because it's one of ten. It's the tenth of a group of ten. That's not achas. Achas means a type of animal that even standalone would have its status. Meiser would never have that status if it's on its own, and therefore you cannot bring an animal of korban meiser for a meiser behema. You cannot bring meiser behema animal for a korban tomid. Min hatzoin. What do we learn from the words min hatzoin? From the sheep, not all sheep. There's a type of a sheep that's not really a sheep and should not be used for a korban tomid. But that's v'loy hapalgas. That is talking about a type of sheep where it's borderline. It's after the 12 months, the first year, it's already not considered a keves, a young tzoin, but it's not yet called a ram. A ram is only from the end of the 13th month, from the end of the first month into its second year, only then it's considered a ram. In the 13th month itself, it's not really a tzoin, it's not a keves, it's not an ayil, it's called a palgas. And from here we see, min hatzoin, don't offer a palgas for a korban tomid. Min hamosaim, says the pasuk, you bring a korban, here we're not talking about an animal, we're talking here about nesachim, the wines that you're using, that's poured on the mizbeach with a korban. Min hamosaim, it's allowed to be brought even though it's only one of 200, which means that when you take off these nesachim, when you take this wine to pour it on the mizbeach for the korban, you've left 200 times its own volume in the barrel that you didn't take that was left in the barrel that was not used for the nesachim. What would that be? It must be that we're talking about a type of iser that needed to be nullified, needed to be nizbatil into many more times its volume of heter. So we know, we've discussed previously, sometimes you've got roiv, sometimes you have nois and tam. What happens if I've got wine of orlo? Orlo, you're not allowed to have anah from orlo. But if a measure of wine fell into 200 times its volume of orlo, that means orlo fell into 200 times its volume of heter, then it's all heter and it's bottle. So min hamosaim, we learn from here, there must be a type of iser that needs 200 times its volume to become bottle. And the Pasuk is saying that once it's bottle, this measure can be taken out and even put on the Mizbeach because it's been nizbatel in 200 times its volume. Mimoisor shtei meis, you're allowed to take for the Nesachim on the Mizbeach when the access, what's left of this wine that you're using is 200 times. Shenishtayru b'boyer, that stayed in the barrel or in the pit where the wine was. Mikan, from here you see la orla, that the is of orla shabitla b'mosaim, shabitela b'mosaim, that it becomes bottle in 200 times its volume. Mimashke Yisrael, that it's from a banquet of Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? Minamutar li Yisrael. You're only allowed to use wine for Nesachim, a type of wine that would be permitted for Yisrael to drink. Mikan omru, ein mevi'im Nesachim min ha-tevel. Something which is tevel, wine that's tevel, trumas and maestros have not been separated from it, and the Yisrael is not allowed to drink it. You're not allowed to use it to put on the mizbeach for the korban. Asks the Braisa, Yochel lo yovi min ha-mukta. I may have thought that if you have wine which is mukta, it's not so easy to find wine. Food products are generally not mukta. But this wine, in the event that it was designated not to be drunk on Yom Tov, so it's now mukta, and now you want to use it for the Mizbeach, are you allowed to use the wine that's mukta for the korban? Says the Braisa, Omrus, Ma Tevel Meyuchad She Isur Gufa Igoram Loi. It's only a type of Isurim similar to Tevel, where the problem with it is an inherent part of the wine itself. This wine is not being taken Trumas and Maisus, it's Tevel. Afkol, so to any other Issa, She Isur Gufoi, that an inherent part of the wine or the nature of the wine stops you from, is Osir, then you're not allowed to use it for the Mizbeach. Afkol, She Isur Gufoi Goramloi, Yotza Mukza, to the exclusion of the Issa of Mukza, where even though it's Mukza, She Ain Isur Gufoi Goramloi, it's not an inherent part, there's nothing wrong with the wine. Elo Issa Dova Acher, there's an external factor that is Shabbos, so it's Yom Tov, and there's Yom Tov, there's an Issa of Mukta, so I can't touch the wine because it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, but not that there's something wrong with the wine. And in that case, you're allowed to use Mukta on the Mizbeach. That is the end of the Braisa. So now we're asking Rabbah, Vi Omrus Issa Mukta Doiraisa, you Rabbah who said that it's also Issa Mukta is also Doiraisa on Yom Tov, Mali Issa Gufoi, Mali Issa Dova Acher. The end of the day, it's not Mina Mutter Li Yisrael, it's not Mimashke Yisrael. If you say that it's only Osir Midarabonon, you can start saying there's a difference if it's Issa Machmas Gufoi or Issa Machmas Dova Acher. If Mina Torah you're not allowed to touch this, then Mina Torah is not fit for Yisrael. So you can't put it on the Mizbeach. So it must be that Mukta is only Osir Midrabonon, not Minatayra. And the question against Rabbah. Void another question. Ha'atu de Omrus. And we have now a whole question. You Rabbah, how are you explaining this case where we saw before that Mavashil Gida Noshe Becholov Beyontav, Ochroi Loika Chomish, you get 5 times Malkus. How are you explaining it? You've added on, and that was the case that we saw before, that you added on and said there was an Issa of Mukta. That means besides for the Issa of cooking on Yom Tov, you've added a second lav for getting for Mukta on Yom Tov. But we have an issue because you, Rabbi, said, V'atu de Omrus, Chiluk Melochis le Shabbos, V'ein Chiluk Melochis le Yom Tov. Only on Shabbos, if you do a number of different Melochis, you get Malkus for each one. But on Yom Tov, even if you transgress a number of Melochis, there's no Chiluk Melochis le Yom Tov. You only get one Malkus. So if he did cooking on Yom Tov, and he did Mukta on Yom Tov, well, cooking and Mukta is, even if, though it's different Melochis, but on Yom Tov you only get one Malkus. We said you get 5 Malkus, so you haven't even helped anything. Elo, Rabbi has to say, Apik Havora, I'll tell you what to put in the place of Havora. And that is V'ayil Atze Asherah, that the wood you used were actually associated to Avodah Zarah, and V'azhara Mehocha, and there's an Issa in the Torah that says, Lo Yidbak Biyotcho, Mu'umma Min HaChirim, don't cling, your hands should not cling to anything of the Chirim, of anything to do with the Atze Asherah. And since you transgressed this Issa, this Lav, that's your 5th Malkus. Omle Rav Acha Berei Derova L'Abaya. Rav Acha Berei Derova asked Abaya, V'nil Kinami, if you say that he used woods that are associated to Avodah Zarah, then why 5 lavim? I've got a 6th one. Mishum lo yisavi se'evel b'secha. There's an issa not to bring any abomination into your house, and these Atzei Asherah are an abomination. So you should transgress a 6th issa of lo yisavi te'eva. Elo, and this is the 5th replacement that we're doing. We're saying it's not, we started off with Havara. We said, no, Havara not, it must be Gidanosha of Nevela. And then we moved from Nevela and we moved to Mukta. And then we said, not Mukta, Atze Asherah. And now it's not Atze Asherah, Elo Apik Havara V'ayil Atze Hekdash. That you used woods belonging to Hekdash. V'azhara Mehacha. And how, where do you see that you're not allowed to burn the woods of Hekdash for your own use? Because it says in the Pasuk, regarding Avodah Zarah, V'asherehem Tisrafun Be'esh, that the Asherahs have to be burnt, and then the Pasuk continues, says afterwards, the next Pasuk, Loisasun Kein Hashem Elokeichem, don't burn something that belongs to Hekdash. And this person is burning woods that belongs to Hekdash for himself, so that is going to be the 5th lav, and then Rabbah has answered, there's no issue here with Rabbah, we've answered the question that Abaya asked against Rabbah. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.